We would like to welcome you today to another study in the book of James. And today we're in James chapter 4, verse 2. And I'm sharing with you the last phrase in verse 2, where James says this: "You have not because you ask not." My friend, what are you asking God for today? What have you been asking God for recently? And let me ask you this, my dear friend. Is there something in the past you used to ask the Lord for, and now you've stopped? We want to examine these things today. We want to ask God for great and mighty things that we know not, but we also want to ask the Lord, "Lord Jesus, change me." You know, we spend a lot of time in our life asking God to change the world, to change America, to change other people that we have problems with. But we need to come to the conclusion of Paul: "For I know in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing." So my friend, we're gathering here today to talk about a whole lot of change that needs to go on around us and within our lives. And we want to remember exactly who it is we're praying to. And we want to start asking and asking and asking with more fervor, more emotion, more intensity. Because, my friend, I'm afraid to say we have not because we ask not. Let's go to Jesus in prayer. Father, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you will cleanse me by your precious blood. And Father, as I've already confessed sin unto you, I pray, Lord Jesus, for an anointing, body, soul, spirit, and mind, to share truth today out of your word. I want to thank you for every wonderful, precious soul that is taking the time to listen today. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that the power of your spirit will minister to all of our hearts. Thank you that you love us, Lord Jesus, and you want to do great and mighty things in our lives. So, Father, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit takes over and you guide us and bless with your favor and mercy and help and power and healing and deliverance and salvation and all these wonderful things. May these blessings rain down upon these dear listeners today. In your glorious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. My friend, Jesus Christ loves you. And he loves you as a parent loves a child. A good parent loves a child. Now I want to praise God that your Heavenly Father wants to give you wonderful things to those who ask Him, as Matthew tells us. So as we look at this scripture, in James chapter 4, verse 2, he says, "You have not because you ask not." Now, that word "because" is a condition. So this is conditional. And I believe that this is truth. There are things I don't have in my life because I'm not asking Jesus for them. And there are things I'm taking for granted. And there are needs I have that I don't even realize. So, my friend, we need to start asking. We need to start asking for more. We need to start asking with greater intensity and greater focus. And we need to take nothing for granted. So don't put yourself in a position where you don't have certain things because you're not asking for them. And this is a theme in the book of James. Look at what he says in James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verse 7, and verse 6, he says to ask in faith. For what? Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God for wisdom. My friend, you're making mistakes in your life because you're not asking for the wisdom and guidance of God. We're going off in directions that the Lord doesn't want us to go off in because we're not asking for the wisdom and guidance of God. We're trusting in ourselves. We're trusting in our own viewpoints. We're trusting in our own perspectives. My friend, please understand, I don't care how much experience you have in life. I don't care how much experience you have in a certain area. I don't care how much expertise you have mentally concerning certain things. You and I, compared to our Almighty God, are very short-sighted. And we need to have the wisdom from the God who sees the end from the beginning. From the God who has a plan for our life every step of the way. From the God who's already in the future. So what are you facing today? What crossroads do you stand at? What decision are you trying to make today, my dear friend? Well, ask for the wisdom of God. And I want to apply this in James chapter 1 to what we just read in James chapter 4, verse 2. You have not wisdom in this particular area because you're not asking for God's wisdom. You're saying, Lord Jesus, I'm self-sufficient and I know what's best. And my friend, I think we need to lay every one of our perspectives, every one of our viewpoints, every entrenched area and way of thinking and stronghold, mental stronghold that we have in our lives, I think we need to lay them all on the altar. And we need to say, Lord Jesus, I need your wisdom in this area. I need your guidance in this area. And Father, if I'm thinking in the wrong way or I've got the wrong viewpoint or perspective here, change. I ask you to change the way I think. So if any of us lack wisdom, we need to ask of God. You have not because you ask not. And then look at what it says. You know, we put ourselves in a position where we're not going to receive from God certain things because James 4:2 tells us we've got to ask for those things. They're specific things. And then he gets more specific in James chapter 1, verse 5, talking about you need to ask God for wisdom. But in verse 6, he says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man who vacillates between faith and self, faith in God, and then human wisdom and horizontal resources, a double man in mind is unstable in all his way. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from God. Here's another condition. I can put myself in a position to where I'm not receiving from God the things my loving Heavenly Father wants to bring into my life. And number one, we're going to look at all three, but number one, hopefully, but number one is wavering faith puts me in a position. Or let's back up. I'll give four things. Number one, you don't receive things from God, number one, because you're not asking for them. And then number two, you're not receiving things from God because your faith wavers. And the scripture there in James 1 says that if I'm not faithful, if I'm not trusting in God, relying on God, and depending on God, then I'm putting myself in a position by which I'm not going to receive anything from God. So I don't want to be in that position. I want to be in the position of Malachi chapter 3 where the Lord says that if I'll be faithful and obedient, and in that particular Old Covenant verse, He talks about bringing your tithes into the storehouse. And in a general way, He's talking about being faithful unto God and being obedient. And what He says there is, if you'll do this, you prove me, saith the Lord, that I will not open the windows of heaven and pour down upon your life and the lives of your family a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive. That's Malachi 3:10. So what I want you to understand is you can be in that position where blessings are just raining down upon you from heaven. Man, that's where I want to be. I want to have faith. I want to have obedience. I want to do the things the Lord tells me to do in the Word of God so that the windows of heaven just open up and pour down upon me. Or I can be over here in a position where James says, you have not because you ask not. And then he says again, you'll not receive anything of the Lord because you're not living a faithful, obedient life. So my friend, I want to make sure I'm over here enjoying the showers of blessings that we've sung about in our traditional churches with those beautiful traditional hymns for many, 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 many generations. There shall be showers of blessings. Well, that's where it comes from, Malachi 3:10. He will open up the windows of heaven and pour down a shower of blessings if we will be faithful and obedient. And James says, if you've got wavering faith, let him ask in faith, verse 6, nothing wavering. Because when you've got wavering faith and you're double-minded and you're unstable, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So number one, we have not because we ask not. Number two, we have wavering faith. So we don't receive the things God wants us to receive. So I'm here today to tell you that if you want your faith to quit wavering, you need to remind yourself who you're praying to. And the Word of God is full of reminders to help us remember who we're praying to. So before I get to that, I want to throw this out to you. I want you to do something. I want you to keep asking. I want you to keep obeying. I want you to keep seeking the Lord. Don't give up. Don't settle for status quo. Don't let the time element cause you to quit asking. I've been praying for my husband to be saved for 20 years, and I've just gotten discouraged, and I quit. No, my dear friend, I'm about to remind us who we're praying to. Your husband is 20 years closer to getting saved today than he was when you first started praying for him. So don't allow the time element to cause our faith to waver. God is using time to grow our faith, to strengthen our faith, and to test us to see if we will keep asking and keep seeking and keep trusting and relying on Him and not get ahead of God and take things into our own hands and mess up everything. So my dear friend, you keep asking and don't you dare settle for the status quo. Don't do that. My dear friend, I don't ever want to hear a Christian say, I'm never going to get better. I don't want to hear Christians say, this is as good as it gets. Because, my friend, those are two statements of wavering faith. Never settle, never give up, and never quit asking. Now, I'm going to probably say all that to you again before we close, but now I'm going to tell you why I am saying all of this. So we've got to remind ourselves who exactly it is that we're praying to. So go with me to Psalm 50. My Bible opens to Psalm 50 every day. That's just how my Bible opens, and the Lord's been opening my Bible that way for the last year or so. So we're going to go to Psalm 50 real quick, and I'm going to read a few verses to you. I want to read, first of all, verse 14 and 15. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay your vows unto the Most High. That's an Old Testament way of saying you come to God with a grateful heart and everything, give thanks unto the Lord. But this is the will of God concerning your life, and then pray without ceasing. All right, that's how Paul put it. But this is how the psalmist puts it. Offer unto God thanksgiving. We come with a grateful heart. I'm thanking you, Lord Jesus, for answering this prayer according to your will and in a way that's going to bring you the most glory in my life. So you want those parameters around your prayers. You want a grateful heart. You want to pray the will of God for this situation. And you want God to answer this prayer in a way that's going to bring Him the most glory. And pay your vows unto the Lord. Live a life of faith and obedience. I want to live a life of faith and obedience. And, verse 15, and ties into verse 14. Call upon me, Leon, the day of trouble. I will deliver you. I will heal you. I will save those that you're praying for. I will deliver those that you're praying for. I will heal those that you're praying for. Strengthen, joyful. And you shall glorify me. Now that's kind of the heartbeat. That's the center part of Psalm 50. But before he gets to all that, he reminds us who we're praying to. Look at what it says up here in verse 9. I will take no bullock out of your house, Israel, nor he-goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and I own the cattle upon a thousand hills. You ever heard a Christian say that? Oh, my Lord owns the cattle upon a thousand hills. Well, my friend, that's where they get it. And a lot of folks quote a lot of stuff. They don't even know where it's coming from. But you and I are better than that. We're going to study the Word of God. But what I want you to understand right here is when I'm praying for a situation, You may not have a job today, my friend. Well, I want you to know something. Your God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And look at what he goes on to say. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. Verse 12. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. So remember who you're praying to. The God who not only created the world and all these universes, but it belongs to him. I know Satan's ruling it right now, but still, don't think God's power is limited. He can affect every inhabitant on the face of the earth today and turn the heart of the judge, turn the heart of the king within his hand like a river of water, the proverb writer tells us. And he says this, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. I know all the fowls of the mountains, verse 11, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. So remember who you're praying to about this situation. In verse 6, he says, the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. God alone is judge. So you might be in a situation today, you want God's justice. Say, Lord, I pray you judge this situation. You know everybody's heart in this. Don't be afraid to pray that unless you're on the wrong side of the of truth. Now, if you're on the wrong side of truth and obedience, then confess and seek forgiveness and get cleansed so that you can honestly and openly stand before the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I want your justice. You weigh every heart that's involved in this situation. And we want to make sure we're standing on the side of truth and obedience and righteousness. Christian, we don't want to be wavering in our actions and in our attitudes. And then notice, we want to remember who we're praying to. Verse 1, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. I'm praying to the almighty God that causes the sun to rise today, and he's going to cause it to set this afternoon, and I want to praise the Lord Jesus for that. Now, my God's hand is not shortened. I'm not going to quit praying. I'm not going to quit asking. I'm not going to put myself in a position where I cannot receive this miracle, because I'm going to keep calling out to the Lord for it. I'm never going to settle and accept things that are part of this fallen world when my Almighty God is there and available to me. And I'm certainly not going to stand with this bunch in verse 22. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. I have a fear and a respect unto the authority and the power of my Almighty God. There are things I'm not going to do to other people because I fear and respect the justice and judgment of God coming down into my life. And I encourage all of you to understand that. We will reap what we sow. Now, I'm not discounting mercy, because you're listening to a guy that's gotten more mercy probably than everybody out there listening combined. And as I just said this, the heavens just thundered above my home here in the beautiful rolling hills of southern Middle Tennessee. But I want you to understand something, my dear friend. We've got to remind ourselves who we're praying to. Now, let me show you something else. Let me show you Abraham. If we're going to study prayer, if we're going to study faith, we're going to have to study Abraham. So go with me to Romans chapter 4. Go with me to Romans chapter 4 and let's study Abraham. And look at what the Scripture says about him. In verse 18, the Scripture says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. We lose hope based on the horizontal. Abraham did not lose hope based on horizontal circumstances. Write that down if you're taking notes. Abraham did not lose hope, against earthly or worldly hope or horizontal hope, or as Solomon says, everything that's under the sun. He never lost hope. He did not look at his own body, past child-inducing age. He did not look at Sarah's body, which was past child-bearing age. He considered not, and I'm quoting these verses, if you're reading along, I'm not looking at them, but we know them. And he considered not his own self and weaknesses, etc., etc., etc. But what did he do? He staggered not, verse 20, at the promise of God. He wavered not through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. He gave glory to God. He was fully persuaded about God's abilities to perform his promises. And then he said this, in the middle of verse 17, he was praying to the God who raises the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. 2 points here. We need to remind ourselves who we're praying to. When every time you pray to your Heavenly Father, every time you pray to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, every time you are empowered by the Holy Spirit and seek the Spirit's guidance in prayer, we are praying to the God of creation and the God of the resurrection. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed from things that did not previously exist. God called them into being. He spake and it was done, the psalmist says. So I want you to understand right now, God needs nothing to work with horizontally. You get a bad report, you keep crying out to God. You come into a tough situation and it gets tougher, you keep crying out to God. God needs nothing to work with beside our faith and our obedience. And if you have the faith of a mustard seed, we know you knew I was going there. I mean, you know, anybody, a Sunday school child, 8 years old, could have gone there. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, my dear friend, God's got something he can work with there. And that's what, he doesn't need man. Now, he uses man. He uses man. But you're praying to the God of creation, and you're praying to the God who raises the dead. And we've got to remember that. The God who created universes out of nothing, and the God who raises the dead. That is who we want to call unto today. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. As usual, I'm cutting verses out of this study. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at what the scripture says, and I just quoted it to you, but we'll look at it. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were made, were not made of things which were already appearing. He spoke and everything came into being. Anything that is was created by him. And anything that was created by him did not previously exist. So I'm going to tell you, my God can make something out of nothing. My God can make something out of nothing. You're listening to one of those right now. No, I don't mean that, because every human being has been created in the image of God. We've got self-worth. We can have godly self-esteem. So my dear friend, please understand that. Please understand that. But my God made all this out of nothing. This ever-expanding universe upon universe upon universe, the power of God is still going out. When he said, let there be light, and that circle is still increasing, the power of God is limitless. And so we don't quit asking. We don't give up. We have not because we ask not. We are going to keep asking. And then notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. Back to Abraham. In verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, as you are being, my friend, he offered up Isaac. In verse 19, Abraham accounted and knew that God was able to raise him up from the dead. A reminder of who we're praying to. Keep asking. We have not. Because we ask not, and we quit asking because we allow our faith to waver, and we forget how awesome and powerful and loving and wise our omnipotent, omniscient Heavenly Father is. And omnipresent. You know, that simply means God's everywhere. So whatever situation you're in, my friend, God is already there. Whatever you're worrying about tomorrow, God is already there. And so, my dear friend, today, it's just a reminder of who we're praying to. Of who we're praying to. So we move forward. But before we do, we're going to be still and allow the Holy Spirit to remind us of who God is. Please, Lord Jesus, forgive me for forgetting how powerful you are. Forgive me for allowing a little bit of time to pass and allowing my faith to waver. Lord Jesus, I pray by the power of your Spirit that you will speak to our hearts today and our minds today, and you will remind us that you are the God who holds all universes in your hands and the inhabitants of all the earth. Father, remind us how much you love us and you care about every area of our lives. And you desire to be our very, very best friend. Lord Jesus, convict my heart about the things that I need to ask you about. I praise your holy name. In your name I pray today, Lord Jesus. Amen.